First Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Paul never saw Christ, so how could he be a witness of the sufferings of Christ unless he recognized that whatever sufferings that he was going through were the sufferings of Christ? Paul knew a secret. He knew that nothing happened to him. He knew that he was continuing in the temptation of Christ, not of himself. So implicit in this is that in order to be an elder, you have to both be a witness of the suffering of Christ and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. The word revealed there is a word that means unfolded. It's in the same way that Christ, as it, obviously when he was born, as a small infant, he had no consciousness of himself. He had no idea who he was. He was totally and completely dependent. And then the scriptures are silent until his age 12, when he was arguing with the elders in the temple at Passover. And then they're silent for another 18 years. We used to spend a lot of time talking about what happened in the silent years of Christ. And I'm of the opinion that because of the way in which the scriptures were read during that time, that he had a slow unfolding and a dawning awakening of who he was. Every feast day, there were the prescribed readings. Every Sabbath, the prescribed readings. During those 18 years, he slowly began to understand and see that those scriptures were talking about him. There's nothing in human nature that can understand the magnitude of that. But here it says, and also the partaker of the glory that shall be, what it really says is unfolded. And so as you slowly, that's why the study of Scripture is so vital. It's the study of Scripture to see more of him and less of you, so that you will then be a partaker of the glory that is being unfolded. Does everybody understand that? When you finally lose any view of yourself, that you're no longer even in the picture, that he is all and in all. And so here we have a very pristine definition of an elder. It's one who recognizes that anything that is happening to him that he doesn't like, i.e. suffering, he's a partaker or a sharer of the, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And he's also experienced this unfolding, this dawning awareness of who he is in Christ. Now, we've got all kinds of people in the churches that are called elders. You know, I mean, and if they're the elders and they're spiritual illiterates, how in God's name can we expect the rest of the church to be anything other than what they see in the elders? This is a huge problem, especially in America, maybe in the whole world. But when most people that that call themselves, over 50% of the people that call themselves born-again Christians don't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. When the favorite Bible verse is a verse that's not in the Bible, and these people that believe that are the elders, we are not in any kind of a great awakening or a great end time revival. We are in an end time severe apostasy. That's what the Bible predicts. There's no place in the scriptures that talk about an end time revival. And yet, when you turn on Christian television or listen to evangelical Christianity, that's all they talk about. This is the great end time revival. Where'd they get that? Does anybody have any idea?
Yeah, I know exactly where they're going. It's a marketing ploy.
No, I'm talking about where they got it from the scriptures. I know why they say it. I'll tell you where they got it from the scriptures.
144,000 flaming evangelists.
No. They got it from Joel. And they talk about that, you know, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, and his young men shall dream dreams and see visions, etc., etc. The problem with thinking that is that Peter defined that that had already happened on the day of Pentecost. It's not something that's happening now, it's something that happened then. You understand that? All right. So an elder first must be a witness of the sufferings of Christ, even if it's 2,000 years later, and he must be a partaker of the unfolding glory. Other, if he's not that, then he can't even, you know, there's nothing he can do except give him worm-eaten, corrupted manna of the mind to people. Okay. Feed the flock of God which is among you. You cannot feed the flock if you want to be an elder. Because if you want to be an elder or you want to be a teacher, you are doing it so that you can be fed yourself, so you can have purpose in a meaningless life. You understand? Just like an apostle or just like anyone that speaks about Christ, if you're doing it because you think you want to, you're probably being deceived. I can only talk about my own. I avoided teaching at all costs. Because I knew what would happen. For 5 years, I avoided it. It didn't work. Then I avoided community at all costs. I didn't want any part of this place. I liked living over in University Park and making everybody come over there a few times a week. No, it didn't work. They didn't last too long. Well, it lasted pretty long.
You know, people didn't like you even before you started teaching.
Yes, they did. I was nice then. Feed the flock of God instead of feeding yourself. If you're teaching in order to have your... If you're an elder in order to be fulfilled, then you can't feed the flock. You're using the flock. You're eating the flock instead of feeding them. Everybody understand that? What?
I just looked over there, and I thought that chair was moving by itself, and it scared me to death.
Well, we'll get a compass in here.
Table. I was just attacked by a giant roach down at the office.
Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because you feel it's a duty, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Now, We're not talking about money here. Filthy lucre here is the filth of feeding yourself. All tables are full of vomit. And so if you're gaining sustenance or trying to gain sustenance by your office or thinking that you're helping somebody, then you're doing it for filthy lucre. Amen? I just love people that say, oh, I love people. I'm a people person. I just want to help people. No, they don't. They're starving to death, and so they have to have something to eat. They love people as long as they meet their idolatry. Somebody isn't here. Who's not here? Gary?
Well,
you left somewhere. Something. You became a black hole a minute ago.
Well, I just think about the past and competing for the chair back in Midwood.
Okay. Remember what we talked about. I'm not chewing you out. I'm simply exhorting you. That if we're gonna have all things in common, then we all must be at the same place at the same time. And if your mind is going in that direction, then it means that you need to talk about it.
Well, that's how I was relating to what you're talking about. It wasn't like I left.
You did leave spiritually because you weren't. I mean, it's not something whether you left or not. You weren't in the same place. That's the issue, because you were back there. And this is real important, guys, and nobody ever understands it. I'm not chewing you off. I'm simply saying that when we study the Bible, whether it's in here or in your Seder groups or in big group or wherever it is, you've heard me, you've watched me do when people read ahead or go back and start flipping through the Bible and finding other verses, and I just get all over them. Well, I need to get all over you if you're still going and letting your mind go back and forth. If that's happening, then you must speak it. So that we're all at the same place at the same time. We have all things in common. That's how we share this mystery. Everybody understand that? So please, especially as an elder, you've got to be an example at all costs, even calling me an idiot. Stop, hold, everything. Okay? All right. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, or not because you need to, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, but of a ready or willing mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You cannot lead a spiritual body by constraint or by anything other than example. Otherwise, you'll become domineering, because you become domineering in the same way it is in a relationship between a husband and a wife. If the husband isn't secure in his position, he becomes domineering. And the same is true with the elders. And that domineering is it's what it's real, its real outward manifestation isn't people yelling at you or anything like that. That's obvious. But the real aspect of domineering is there is a definitive lack of mercy in the judgments of the elders. When mercy is gone, then its replacement is this domineering spirit. Anybody see that? There must be, you must always, 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 without exception, err on the side of mercy. All right. neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now, to be an example, this is why it's so critical in the first century evangelists. We've talked about this before, but maybe not lately. There is every evidence to indicate that when the evangelists in the first century went someplace, they stayed for 2 and 3 years. And why? Well, first of all, they stayed that long because they went through the cycle of reading. But the real reason that they stayed that long is so that their words were tested by their life, so that they were a true example of this mystery, of the witness, of the suffering, and a partaker of the glory. But now evangelists, you know, they come, you know, starting in the 20s, I guess, they had the tent meeting crap. And then that was bad enough. But now it's replaced by some image in a cathode ray tube or whatever they're using these days. I guess they're not using those anymore, are they?
Well, they're used.
Huh?
They're still used, but they're on their way out.
Oh. Well, whatever they're doing, it's an image on a screen instead of being able to... If you understand, because of that, there can never be the Rhema of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema, our Word of God. Rhema means the Word of God, the Logos, that has been worked out in the flesh. So there has to be this intimate. You can't do that over television. The only thing that you can do with radio or television or shortwave or anything is to show forth the emptiness of human effort, the vanity and futility of man. That's the only reason that God raised up television. You certainly can't have an electronic church. You certainly can't have evangelism and all of this crap that these guys say, we have all these converts. God doesn't want converts. That's the merest of beginning. That's like having a baby and leaving him alone out in the highway. God wants disciples. Anybody have any response?
I was thinking we ought to have a little disclaimer on our little, you know, web-based Bible study.
Now, of course.
You have no idea, you know, whether Ole Anthony is, you know,
I might be
here preaching, you know, while he's, you know, hitting up heroin or something. Who knows? You have no idea because you're like in
right.
You know, just a little disclaimer, you know.
Yeah, for anybody who thinks.
Telling that idea because it's important.
It's vital. That's a great idea.
Say what?
You have no idea what you know, who I am or what I am or what, just because
of it.
Well, I had no intention of
writing. I wasn't telling you, I was telling Michael, let Rutledge.
Well, he didn't hear what he said.
No. Never mind.
You have a statement that you read each morning.
No, wait. Everybody has to witness it. Did you see how easy that Harry became a victim? Did you see that? It just happened. Bam! Now he's doing the justification in his mind, calling me all kinds of names.
And people are deprived of seeing that.
I know. It's just sad. We need a webcam. Now it's focused on Harry's face.
As Marilyn would say, stop looking at me.
Stop looking at me.
Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That's not talking about age. It's talking about young in the faith, submitting yourselves to the elders. Now, what does submitting mean? It's the biggest buzzword in Christianity with regard to husbands or wives, submitting yourselves unto your husbands and submitting yourselves one to another. What does that mean? Anybody have any idea?
Getting rid of your own agendas in preference to someone else.
Yeah, but that's you just become a cult if everybody decided, okay, I'm supposed to be the leader, so everybody submits themselves to me. What the hell does that mean? I don't want that. I hope you don't.
It means there's an open life rather than any kind of privatizing anything.
That's right.
That's what I was going to say.
It's the certainty that God has wrought all our works in us, and it's the courage to be manifested openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So there's no hidden activity, no hidden agendas. And that then testifies to the purpose of what was originally the synagogue and it became the Seder. That therein is the place where everything is tested. So it's not sitting there like a bump in a log listening to somebody. Not trying to learn. If you don't know by now, I can't teach you anything, then you're still a fool. I can only destroy your false value systems. That's my purpose. So, if you are sitting in judgment of what I say without saying anything, you're in witchcraft, you're a coward. We could go on and on there, but
you're not in submission.
Uh-huh, and you're not in submission. And what's funny is people think I don't know they're doing it. That's why I called, said Michael was sitting in judgment of me a few weeks ago. Everybody understand that? We commend ourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Nothing hidden. No hidden judgments. No hidden agendas. And this is, without it, there can be no humility. And without humility, there can be no Christianity. One of the ancient saints said, humility is the first, second, and third requirement of Christianity. So I hasten to exhort you and warn you that if you have these thoughts and are not sharing them, you might as well go and crucify Christ afresh. You might as well shoot the person with a physical gun that you have the judgments about. This must be an open forum. And if the elder can't, if the elder or pastor can't answer every question you have, you should fire him. Right? Everybody understand that perfectly? Michael?
I don't know why you'd have to answer every question. Why would they have to answer every question?
Because if you can't have your question answered, then you will always be in a what-if position. You'll never be at peace. You'll have an unanswered world.
There would be a question I can ask that John would know.
Given sufficient time.
It's true. But don't ask him about mathematics.
Yeah.
Or numbers. No, but the point is that the answer is available in the body. It's not...
Yeah, that's...
Okay. All right?
As opposed to, that's not for us to know.
Oh, you can't believe... Doug got in more trouble when he was teaching the kids because it happened at least 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times. I can't remember, but it seems like many. He would get frustrated at one of the kids and he would say, because I told you so, when they asked a question. That's the worst thing that you can say to a kid from my standpoint. And it's the worst thing that you can be implied in a spiritual community because it is violence.
right out, because you're saying you're not worth actually giving it a real answer to. You need to just shut up and sit down.
Because I told you so.
You believe what I tell you, you think what I tell you.
It's
I think in humility and engenders submission. A lot of people don't have the courage to speak up and say the things that are on their mind. But if the elders are humble for their humility, then there's more likely you will see submission. Things will come out.
Yeah, they feed on each other.
Yeah.
All right. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. What that means, to be subject one to another, means that their fulfillment is more important than yours. That their agenda is more important than yours. That their schedule is more important than yours. This is what one of the things that Norman Grubb said, that other than you were meant to be a failure. He said, I am fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is unimportant as long as I meet your need. And that something in me just blew up when he said that. Because I knew that I knew that I knew that that was the fundamental truth of life. That's why I don't understand. I just honestly don't understand. I feel sorry for people that don't live in community where you're challenged every day because it's so easy to revert to self. And yet it's the greatest enemy of the cross of Christ. Self-fulfillment, self-realization. You don't think it's that, especially around here. You sort of finesse it and call it, well, I'm just trying to get this done, or I need to get this out, or... But it's really your agenda, your fulfillment, your manifestation of self-realization. Amen? That's a good place to stop. We have a reporter coming today. I'm gonna tell you all something just because I need to turn this off. Take it, big guy.